This week on Tapestry, we're off to Batavia, New York in Genesee County and head straight to the Dot. That's the Polka Dot Diner, a beloved Batavia landmark serving up beef on weck and hometown comfort since 1953.
We go through so much of it that it's constantly hot in au jus, going on to that toasted Kimmelwick roll. It's always fresh, yeah.
Then it's on to Centennial Park, where the Batavia Concert Band fills the air with music all summer long for free.
We have retired music teachers, current music teachers in training, and some of the top high school students in the area. Everybody's here to just enjoy making music.
We finish at Dwyer Stadium with the Batavia Muck Dogs and owner Robbie Nichols.
The city was happy with us, and we were happy with the city, and that they've extended our lease by 17 more years.
So really?
We're going to be here a long time, and we love it. It's great.
That's coming up on Tapestry right after this.
Compact Science is your gateway to the science of everything in our region. Join host Sarah Jane Gomlick-Green and investigate the geology of Niagara Falls, discover the chemistry in sponge candy, and learn how density affects lake effect snow. Watch Compact Science on the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel.
From in-depth reporting to musical masterpieces, dramas, and mysteries to local bands, Buffalo Toronto Public Media delivers it all. Stay informed, be inspired, and join us. This is Public Media.
Welcome to Tapestry. I'm your host, Lynn Bader. We're in Batavia, New York, spending the day celebrating tradition. Our first stop is the Polka Dot, a tiny spot on Ellicott Street with a 1950s decor, a loyal following, and stories going back more than 70 years. Whether it's for a coffee, a beef on weck, or just a familiar face, this is where Batavians go to feel at home.
I'm here with Tim Beers and Lynette Basher. Tim, your wife is actually, well, you're in the family. You're in the Polka Dot family.
Well, I've been in the family since 1980.
Okay. But it is your wife whose father started the restaurant?
That's correct.
Okay.
He started it in 1954, and it was really just a little hut. But there used to be a lot of factories around here. There's a knitting mill over here. So a lot of people would come here before they went to work for breakfast, a lot of people for lunch, and then a lot of people for dinner, especially when factories used to have three shifts. We used to be open from 6 in the morning until 2 in the morning. There used to be a railroad line that came 5 feet behind this building.
Wow.
Yep.
And you used to have to cross a railroad track to get into the building.
Did it shake the building, I wonder?
A little bit, yeah.
Lynette, how long have you worked here?
22 years.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Long time.
And she's been our manager 5
yeah,
years
Yeah, I think.
What is it like to work for a family business? You're not a family member, but gosh, after 22 years.
It's kind of nice.
All the people that worked here used to come over to your table, take your order, and then they'd go cook it.
Yeah, it's totally different now. It was fun because then when we got busy, you would like take, see how many tables you could get and cook their food before the other waitress did. So I used to like that.
There was a little competition.
There was a competition take as much as
you could
if you wanted to make money.
Yep.
Well, so what do you like about working here?
I like the customers. I like talking. I'm a talker. Yeah.
Well, you're in a service industry, you know?
You get the usuals.
They'd come and sit for 3 hours and have a cup of coffee. One of the funny stories my wife tells is they used to remember people by what they ate.
Yep.
Because, you know, it'd be so busy. A lot of times, I mean, you knew a lot of the customers, but you didn't know all of them. You didn't know your name. You know, oh, that's cheeseburger with mustard, ketchup, and pickles.
Speaking of food.
Yes.
Y'all are well known for a
beef
couple of...
Beef licks.
Yeah.
Yes.
When did that start? Was beef on weck served ever since you can remember?
Ever since I can remember. And I think it in the back in the day, I think they used to fill. My father-in-law grew up just around the corner. And
would he cook it at home?
And his dad or his mom or his wife would cook the beef at home and then bring it in.
What makes it so great? The beef on
weck. We've been cooking it the same way.
I just said ever since I started
ever
here.
Ever since I can remember.
Yeah.
The seasonings are the same. We
cook it try slow.
And, yeah, we cook it slow. We slice it thin. We trim it really well.
Yeah.
And I think that's a difference.
Yeah,
and
it's not fatty.
It creates a great au jus. We sell so much of it. We go through so much of it that it's constantly hot in au jus going on to that toasted Kimmelwick roll. It's always fresh. Yeah. I mean, what we cook today, we will slice tomorrow, and it'll be pretty much sell it tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is fresh.
And in the summer, we'll cook two beefs mostly every day.
Yeah, 50 to 60 pounds.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And I think that's the secret. We turn it so fast
that it's not sitting around.
Okay, but there's no secret ingredient, or is there, and you're just not going to tell me?
Before we left, Lynette gave us a tour of the kitchen, and I met Christian, the current grill master on duty.
Yeah.
All right. Christian, are you on a break or are you working, man? You're going to make me a beef on weck. Can we do that?
Yeah.
All right.
Really, you just got to toast the roll, leave it on there for a couple seconds.
How long have you been working here?
Oh, I've been working here about 2-3 years.
They hired you when you were just a kid. No facial hair back then.
Yeah, no.
Do you have a favorite menu item?
I like the beef on a hard roll with barbecue sauce on it. Now the roll is toasted a little bit. I'm going to throw the beef on there. And,
all right.
Would you like a horseradish on the side?
Yes, please.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. I'm a light horseradish girl, so.
Like,
what's ordered more than anything else?
Definitely the beef on wick.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Let's ring that up. I got to tell you, if you're driving through Batavia, you're not going to miss it because it is the building with literal polka dots decorated on the outside.
They were coming back from Rochester and they drove by a house with polka dots. And they looked at each other and they said, we're going to name it the Polka Dot and we're going to put polka dots on it.
I'm sorry Phyllis wasn't able to join us today. And I'll have to come back sometime when I can, because I'll bet she's got some great stories.
She does. They grew up in here. I mean, they worked here. And Phyllis tells a funny story. She goes, you know, we'd all be out in high school having a great time partying. And I'd hear my father this is when they opened at 6, at 5 o'clock in the morning, Phyllis, Georgianne, you got to go to work because the girlfriends that they were with called in sick. So Phyllis and her sister would have to come down here and work because the girlfriends they were out with couldn't get out of bed.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but they worked here throughout their high school.
Yeah.
And
what does it mean for you as a couple to know that you're really carrying on this family legacy? Do you talk about that?
We talk about it a lot. And it really is a responsibility.
A responsibility to the place?
To my father-in-law.
Okay.
In the town. It's been here forever.
Yeah.
To what they built.
Yeah. Well, I wish you years and years and years of success. And thank you so much for everything that you've both brought to Batavia and to the people here.
Well, thanks for coming to see us.
As the gang prepped for the dinner rush, we were off to Centennial Park, where the Batavia Concert Band carries on a musical tradition more than a century strong. That's up next after this snapshot of Batavia history.
As the sun dips low over Genesee County, the lights flicker on Batavia Downs, and the magic begins. Since 1940, this half-mile track has been a heartbeat of Western New York. The first lighted harness racing track in the country, Batavia Downs, changed the game, bringing fans out for thrilling nighttime races under the stars. Here, racing is more than sport. It's tradition, a summer ritual where sulkies skim the track and generations gather under the glow of grandstand lights. This is where legends were made, like Hervé Fillion, who lit up these stands, and where neighbors, newcomers, and lifelong fans come together drawn in by the rhythm of the race. More than 8 decades later, the track still pulses with life. Simulcasts, dining, and a gaming floor have modernized and added to the experience. But at its core, it's still about the race. For over 80 years, Batavia Downs has kept the legacy of harness racing alive. One stride, one cheer, one story at a time.
Okay, Welcome back to Tapestry. This episode is full of tradition, and our next story is no different. We're spending time with the Batavia Concert Band, a group that's been making music for over a century. I sat down with Jason Smith, the band's general manager, before a concert in Centennial Park. When he's not organizing logistics or recruiting musicians, he's right there in the brass section playing trombone.
So I've been with the band since 1991, have not missed a summer. I missed concerts here and there, of course, but I've not missed a summer. We have about 80 musicians. It's a wide mix from students all the way through people in their mid-70s.
Tell me about a couple of other of your members that we're gonna find and talk to tonight.
I'm looking at two right now.
Okay.
Pete Mark and Skip Taylor. They're the next, you know, I would say the next generation above me in terms of long-term membership. Pete and Skip were both longtime members of the band and former officers like myself.
The two have played together for decades and along the way became lifelong friends. I started with Peter Mark, who began playing as a young boy.
I started in 1962 as an 11-year-old.
Oh, wow.
And I've gone continuous till now, so we'll have to do the math.
Okay.
But over 60 years of continuous service, yes.
Oh, and what inspires you to come out and play every single week?
I was brought into the band by my father.
Okay.
He was a trombone player, and I've changed instruments over the years. I started as a baritone player, then went to trombone. Lately, I've been a tuba player, and this year, due to some health concerns, I can't play a wind instrument.
Okay.
So I'm in the percussion section.
All right. Well, I can't wait to hear you play tonight. I'll be keeping my eye out for you. How about you, yeah. Skip?
I started in 1960 as an 11-year-old. And my father was a musician in the band. Pete and my father's were
all
both
together.
Musicians. And he was a trumpet player.
Okay.
And so he brought me, I'd been playing for about 3 years then. I started on percussion, but also through the years I played in the trumpet section and the euphonium section, which was my major in college. Pete and I both played under a variety of conductors, and that allowed us to really learn at an early age how to sight read.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I think was very important that it helped us develop was at an incredibly young age, it gave us social skills that maybe some other kids our age didn't have. The ability to get along with adults.
Because you're sitting next to them playing with them every week.
Yeah. We used to play our concerts in Williams Park and then a variety of the parks in the city.
Okay.
And in the early days, the cars would come and circle the park.
Yep.
And when the number was over, they'd sit in their cars and beep their horn.
Oh.
And that would be their applause.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Pete has played continuous. I think he sets a record as playing continuous.
Okay.
I took time off to start my career as a band director.
Okay.
At Pembroke and also at GCC, the local community college here.
Mm.
The current conductor of this band, John Bailey, is a former student of mine, which is so rewarding for me.
Oh, I bet. To be playing for him now.
Exactly. I love playing under John.
Right? It's not every day you get to witness a story come full circle like that. I sat down with John Bailey, the student turned conductor.
So I'm a high school band director in the area, and it's why I do what I do each and every day, mm-hmm. because this band is just loaded up with musicians from all walks of life, all level abilities.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of everybody in here. So you teach music all day long in order for students to hopefully grow an appreciation for it, to keep making music throughout their lives. And this is just a great avenue for people to do that.
Well, and I would imagine in school, it might be a little bit different. You want to instill that love of music, that passion for music in every single one of your students. But then you come here and everybody is here for that very reason. How is that different?
Well, that's what makes it really fun.
Everybody's
here to just enjoy making music. It's
yes.
everybody's choice to be here. We have retired music teachers, current music teachers in training at the college level, and some of the top high school students
mm-hmm.
in the area. So to be able to work with everybody like that from all age levels, we're all learning from each other, each and every rehearsal, each and every concert.
why is a community having a community band so important to a community?
Kids grow up in school learning music. Where do they go from there? Mm. Not in some cases, unless you're going to become a professional.
Mm-hmm.
You need to find some place, if you've enjoyed playing your instruments, you need to find some place to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been great.
I would tell my students that music is something you can go anywhere in the world, anywhere in the country, and join some kind of a musical organization. It's mm-hmm. a universal language. So, you know, no matter how old you are, I mean, I'm 76, still playing.
Talk to me about what it does for you socially to be a part of this kind of an organization.
Well, I guess I'll start with that. All right, my wife is also a part of the band.
Yeah.
So this gives us an outlet during this time of the year. We don't often play with each other. She's a piano teacher locally. It mm-hmm. just falls together. We enjoy doing this for people. And we enjoy the people that are in the group.
Talk to me about the response that you've gotten from the community, because you're really providing a valuable
Huge.
Service to the community.
Our audiences have gotten larger and larger. We've added, the past several years, we've added now what's called a cadet band. So it's a band made up of youth musicians, and they play with us two concerts per season. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of joy in having people stand up and clap for at the end of the night to get, you know, give them that joy of listening to some beautiful music. It's as much fun for us to play as it is for them to listen to the music.
Right.
And just to have that opportunity to unwind and just enjoy a nice night out here in beautiful Centennial Park and play some wonderful, a nice variety of music, too. I like all kinds of music, so it's nice to play all kinds of music. And if you want to get involved with the band, we have a Facebook page, Batavia Concert Band, and we have a website, bataviaconcertband.net, and all of our contact information is on there.
Awesome. So if you've got an instrument in your closet, you miss playing, you miss the community that you feel, just dust it off, get
come
it tuned
on
up,
us.
And come on
Ask
out.
Ask for Jason Smith, for John Bailey, or Pete Mark. We'll take care of you.
Awesome. From music in the park to baseball under the lights, we're keeping the tradition going. Up next, I head to Dwyer Stadium to talk with the owner of the Batavia Muck Dogs about the team, the fans, and what makes hometown baseball so special. We'll be right back.
Explore the Underground Railroad's final stop. Learn about how the Latine workforce organized to overcome discrimination and follow the timeline of immigration in Western New York.
So remember, history surrounds you and includes you.
Watch Compact History on the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel.
From your morning commute to quiet evenings at home, Buffalo Toronto Public Media is always there with trusted news, inspiring stories, and timeless music. It's your connection to a world of wonder. This is Public Media.
Welcome back to Tapestry. As the sun sets and the lights come on at Dwyer Stadium, there's nothing quite like baseball on a summer night. This ballpark has been a community staple for generations. Let the mud dogs out, raise the sound. Batavia's fine is the best around. Our claws are sharp, our spirits high. We swing for the fences and shoot for the sky. To wrap up our episode, I sat down with the Batavia Muck Dogs owner, Robbie Nichols, to talk about keeping that tradition alive and what it means to be part of Batavia's baseball story.
I said, let's make some noise for our guys. Let's go.
Talk to me about you and your wife acquiring the Batavia Muck Dogs and why you made the decision to do that.
Yeah, 15 years ago, we bought the Elmira Pioneers, and we've had great success with them, and we you know, have great crowds and leads the PGCBL. And 5, 6, 7 years ago, I kept on hearing the Muck Dogs are losing their team. Major League Baseball is going to pull the Muck Dogs away. And, you know, so I just kept an eye on it a little bit and talked to the fans. A guy by the name of Russ Salway is a season ticket holder, and he'll be here tonight. Talking to him, and he said, yeah, baseball's hot here. We have 700 people at 800 at each game. And I just started following it, and then I started talking to our league commissioner. I sent in some money and said, if Batavia ever comes available, I'd like to buy it. 2019, and then we ran the team for about 2-3 years, and the city was happy with us, and we were happy with the city, and they've extended our lease by 17 more years.
So really?
We're going to be here a long time, and we love it. It's a great little stadium. We're sitting on the field doing this interview. We probably couldn't do that in Major League Baseball with some of their rules.
No, not at all. Home plate's right behind us. We are playing Niagara Falls tonight, right? But Niagara Falls on the Canadian side of the border. You happen to own the Niagara Falls team on this side of the border.
Correct. We own the Niagara Falls Americans.
All right. And then Elmira and then this team.
Yep.
What got you interested in owning a baseball team and at sort of at this level?
Yeah, so I was... I was a pro hockey player and then a hockey GM and ran an arena and a pro hockey coach for many years. And, you know, it's really just sports business. We look at it, this is my business. This is what I own is sports, and I know how to sell advertising. We know how to pack people in the stands, and we know how to sell hot dogs and popcorn, and we know how to sell beer. So it all combined together. It's a family business. All three teams are ran by the family, and it's a lot of fun.
One of the reasons that people come to these games are the great promotions that you do during the game. So what goes into putting on the show behind the game?
So it takes a lot of people. Mark Witt, who's our general manager of all our teams, he's also a partner with us, and he's also my son-in-law. So he's got a neat story. He worked for me as a young 20-year-old and then didn't know he was dating my daughter at the time, and he moved to the American Hockey League. Went to the NHL with the Columbus Blue Jackets, and he was working there. Then I brought him down here, and he does a lot of this stuff. And you're going to see, tonight's a perfect example. We have, there's going to be probably 10 police cars and fire trucks and, you know, all these, it's first responder nights, stop DWI night. They'll all drive out on the field. It'll look like a carnival out here. So it's all about the family. And you'll see, you know, people are already standing around talking to their neighbors or somebody in town. Everybody knows everybody in Batavia. It's that small. If you want to go anywhere, everything is 5 minutes away, wherever you, whatever you want. This town. And it's so small, you better treat everybody right, because if you don't, the whole city's going to know quick.
Sure.
You know, so we want to, you know, that's a big thing for us. We always say we're on the Disney page. We want to be happy. We want to have fun here. And we want to treat people how we want to be treated.
Right. So it sounds like you have a lot of success off the field, certainly with the fan base and everything. So 700 folks coming to a game, that's a night of success for you.
No. So they used to, average 7. So we're closer to 2,000 games now. And credit all about the marketing and the silliness we do and the companies that sponsor us and the involvement. They're part of our team. They own, you know, they might as well say they own the team. We're just the holder of the keys that take care of everything for them.
So if someone's never been to a game at this particular league, let's talk about the level of the players. Who is out here playing? How old are they? What's next in their future?
Yep, so they're all in university or college attending currently.
Okay.
They all play for Kentucky, Ole Miss, you know, whatever school they go to, Michigan. They're here for a short season for the summer to stay sharp and make sure they stay in great shape. 4 years ago, 5 years ago in Elmira was a young man by the name of Jordan Westberg. He was drafted first round of the Baltimore Orioles. He's Baltimore's full-time second baseman. He plays for $2.8 million a year.
Jeez.
And he was Rookie of the Year in Major League Baseball last year. And 4 years ago, he sat in our locker room. You know, so it's neat. Out of this team, we have about 7 playing pro ball. So it's really neat. It's like your child going off and doing well.
Yeah, absolutely.
We wish nothing but great success to all these guys. Even if they spend 1 year, 2 years, we want them to move on to whatever they want to move on to.
So your players come from all around. You say they are playing at a university or a college somewhere. Where do they stay?
So we have 1 player from Batavia, 24 from Florida, some from California, 1 from Japan, some from Canada. So they're a mixture. When they come here, we stay at GCC, one of the local colleges here. They get some money for using their unused dorms for the summer, and we pay them good money to house the players there. Because they're only here for 2 months.
Right.
You'll see parents here all the time from these players. One family has rented a house here for the 2 months and stay and watch their player every night. So on top of what we do in the crowds, we're bringing millions of dollars worth of revenue to all the restaurants and gas stations and hotels.
Right here in Batavia and in the area around. Yeah. What's the secret sauce of the Muck Dogs, and how are they doing?
So Jose Martinez, our manager, you'll see him. He's a loud guy. He'll be out here in a little bit, and he played for the Detroit Tigers. He brings them in. He wants to change them into young men, making sure they're good citizens in the community. The very first day we walk in the big Memorial Day parade, yeah. They're shaking hands and passing out some tickets, and he does a great job. We've won the division last 3 years in a row.
Congrats. High five that.
The Muck Dogs are in first place as we speak. And so it's a huge game tonight. We need to keep on winning.
And now it's time to make some noise. And we introduce to you the starting lineup for your first place Batavia Muck Dogs. Brought to you by...
How do you keep the game affordable for like a family of four and still do well for yourself, still turn a profit?
It's created by these sponsors. You look around all the advertising, so we're doing pretty good before we open
our... Yeah, I can see.
Before we open the doors. And our jerseys are always full. We have sponsors on our jerseys. We have sponsors on our hats.
Yes.
So it's all about the sponsors. There's sponsors. I'd rather a family of four that can't, has zero money, I'd rather give them four tickets and let them come enjoy it. If they enjoy it, they may come back and try it again.
Yeah.
If they're here, they may buy a hot dog and a popcorn. And water, you know.
Right.
So we just want you to come have an enjoyable night.
If you had a minute to talk to the Batavia community, they're listening to Tapestry right now, and they've listened to two great stories so far. Yours is the end of the episode. What would you say to the community of Batavia?
Just thank you. Thank you for loving your Muck Dogs the way you love it. Thank you for coming out the way you do. Thank you for embracing my family. We've been here 5 years. We bought a home here. In the Batavia market. We love the area, and like I said, we have about 15 more years now to go on our lease. But really, just thank you to all the people in Batavia. And, you know, a lot of them are good friends, as you saw when we walk around.
Yeah.
We know them by name. They know me by name. And it's a fun, great place. Wait till you see some of the skylights tonight that the Lord gives us. This will be a beautiful place to have a ball game tonight.
Well, on that note, play ball.
Play ball.
That's a wrap on this episode of Tapestry. I'm so glad you came along for the ride. There's always something new to uncover here in Western New York, and I can't wait to explore more together. What's happening in your town? Have a story idea you'd like to share? We'd love to hear it. Just email us at tapestry@btpm.org. And if you've missed an episode, no worries. You can catch up on the full series at btpm.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Tapestry is a production of Buffalo Toronto Public Media. I'm your host, Lynn Bader. Thanks for listening.